Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name, and when we regard ourselves, when we reflect upon the way that we really are, we cannot call ourselves righteous. We don't come close. But Lord, by faith, we claim the righteousness of your Son Jesus through what he's done on the cross, through his suffering and death, through his resurrection. We claim him as our Savior. We ask that when you look at us, you look at us through his righteousness, for we have none of our own. We classify with the wicked and the unrighteous, yet by faith in him, you give us salvation and righteousness. In his name, amen. Psalm 1, I spoke last week about several categories of psalms. And those categories were imprecatory. That's where we pray to God that he would take care of our enemies for us. Penitential, like Psalm 51, when King David confessed his great sins with Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite. Acrostic psalms, which are sort of not alliterative, but where each verse or line begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Messianic psalms, which speak of the coming Savior, the Christ. And the Hallelujah psalms, which all begin with praise the Lord. And there are many other categories. I just haven't mentioned them, but I'll mention some of them here. Wisdom psalms, individual laments, community laments, that's L-A-M-E-N-T-S, like lamentations. Psalms of trust, community psalms of trust, hymns and psalms of descriptive praise, psalms of creation, psalms of Zion, that's Jerusalem, Zion, liturgical psalms, and individual psalms of praise. Then last week there was the mention of the five books of psalms. So many chapters in each book, and of course Psalm 1 is the first book of Book 1 of the Psalms. And Book 1 includes all of the psalms through Psalm 41. As for Psalm 1, we do not know who wrote it or when it was written. But it is likely that the author was a scholar of the law with a high regard for the Word of God. Book 1, Psalm 1, the way of the righteous and the wicked. Verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So far, those two verses. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man or the woman who does not do some things, but does do other things. Verses 1 and 2 tell us of these things. There are three things the blessed person does not do. First, the blessed person does not walk, that is, he does not live. The Hebrew verb there is halak. It means walk, but it also means live. He does not live among the wicked. And the wicked are those who do not believe in God, who disobey God's law, who exclude themselves from public worship and the community of God's people. The blessed one does not hang out with those who habitually sin without any inclination toward repentance. The blessed one does not sit, meaning spend time with those who scoff at God, that is, those who mock God. Here in this first verse of Psalm 1 is described the downward spiral that unbelief leads into. First comes unbelief and disobedience of God's word and of God's law, which includes the law, the Ten Commandments, and the gospel, the promise of forgiveness in Christ Jesus. Second, with unbelief comes the beginning of a lifestyle that includes hanging out with those who sin and have no tendency toward repentance. And thirdly, with that lifestyle comes the hardening of the heart in unbelief. There comes the hardening of the heart in self-justification. And with that comes scoffing at God, the mockery of God. What are you going to do about it, God? You aren't really there, are you, God? God. What are you going to do? Mocking God. Unbelief, dear ones, is our enemy. Unbelief leads us to the point where we can't see our sin or our Savior. Unbelief leads to mockery of God, and unbelief leads to hell. But verse 2 tells us of the blessed, of the one who does the things that are pleasing to God. And what are these things? The blessed one meditates. He ponders on God's word, both law and gospel. The blessed one meditates upon. He takes delight in the law, the Ten Commandments, knowing that even though he can't keep these Ten Commandments, God gives them to him for his own good, to show him his sin, to curb his sinful life, to show him what a perfect relationship with God would be like if he could keep these commandments, to show him how to love God and his neighbor. And he loves the gospel that tells him that his sins are forgiven by faith in Christ, the gospel that shows him that he will have a perfect relationship with God when Christ comes again. He meditates and he ponders on these things during his going and his coming during the day. And he even awakes at times in the middle of the night and meditates and ponders upon these things. He takes great delight in God's word. He shows this delight by meditating on God's word. And we go on to verses 3 and 4. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. So far, verses 3 and 4. With verses 3 and 4, we are given a comparison between the believer and the unbeliever. Notice that the believer does not plant himself, but he is planted by streams of water. He is like a tree planted by streams of water. It gives up its fruit. It does not wither in seasons, even when the river dries up, because its roots are deep. The believer's roots are planted and watered in the waters of baptism, which are sustained in the Word of God. The Word of God preaches and teaches in season and out of season. The performative Word of God does what it says. It does not return unto God void. It accomplishes that for which God purposes it. And as a result, the believer prospers, but not in the way that the world prospers necessarily. The believer prospers in the things and ways of God, in spiritual ways, and in the gifts of the Spirit. The believer shows love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. His inheritance is heavenly. He does not put stock in the ways or the material things in this world. But the wicked, here's the contrast, but the wicked, the unbelievers, are not like this. The unbeliever bears no good fruit. He does not prosper. His spiritual roots do not search in the deep for God's word. He has no basis, no origin in spirituality. He is like the dry chaff that comes off grain when it is harvested. When the grain is tossed into the wind, the chaff comes off the grain and is blown away. Or sometimes it is shaken off, gathered up, and thrown into the fire. The unbeliever is like chaff to God, having no value, having no faith. He will be thrown into the fires of hell. Verses 5 and 6. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So far, verses 5 and 6. Verse 5 begins with, therefore. We've been given some statements of certainty in the first four verses. Now we will be given a conclusion. The wicked, the unbelievers who mock God, will not stand in the judgment. They will not be able to withstand the final judgment when Jesus comes again. Sinners, those who do not live in repentance, will not be allowed in the congregation of the righteous. That is, those who have been forgiven in the righteous blood of Jesus. In the world of the Israelites of the Old Testament times, the congregation was composed of those who gathered for public worship. And it refers to those who trust in God for their salvation at the final judgment. The way of the righteous and the way of the wicked are in direct contrast in verse 6. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The Lord God knows His people by their way, by the fruits of their faith, by confession and faith known as repentance, by meditation on the Word of God, both law and gospel. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. The Lord knows us. But those the Lord does not know will perish. Those who are wicked will perish. Those who are unbelievers will perish. Those who mock God will perish. And so our conclusion tonight for this sermon, this talk, and our closing prayer is from the Lutheran Study Bible on Psalm 1. Psalm 1 shows us the destiny of both the righteous and the wicked. The wicked will, at the final judgment, find themselves alienated from God and ultimately inheritors of eternal damnation. No one is exempt from this most frightening fate. Yet God has provided a different way. He sets us on the way of righteousness and keeps us on it through His Word. The means of grace forever remind us, even when we have succumbed to the various temptations of life, that through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our destination is certain. We will stand holy before God in the final judgment as members of the congregation of the righteous. Let us pray. O Lord, bless our meditation on the accomplished fact of our salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.